MoveCast.
Hello, welcome to one more episode of the WoofCast. In this episode, it's kind of a special edition because we are making 2 years of recordings. So I decided to invite Basil. Basil was the first interviewed in this podcast series. And together with Basil, we will have Sarah. So it's the first time we're interviewing two people at the same time. Let's see how it goes. And welcome, Basil. Welcome, Sarah.
Hi, Rodrigo.
Hi, Rodrigo. Hi, Basil.
Hi, Sarah.
Basil have been with us already, so we don't need a long presentation. You can go back to the first episode if you want to know a little bit more about Basil. But Basil, can you tell me a little bit about your involvement with Woof, just as a refresh our memories?
Yeah, sure. I got involved in Woof when I was about 18, when traveling to Canada, woofed all over the place in Canada, then went back to our family farm in Italy, where we started hosting woofers for quite some time. Then got involved in the Woof Italia Association, have been ever since. And then in 2012, when the Federation of Woof Organizations was founded, I happened to get quite involved in that as well. And now I'm working for the Federation as general coordinator for the international network.
And you, Sarah, can you let people know about your involvement with Woof? Maybe about a little bit about you with Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Hi, yeah, sure. I've been involved with Woof for about the same amount of time as Basil, actually. I think I was around 18 or 19 and decided to go woofing in New Zealand. I had just graduated from the University of California in Santa Cruz and had been studying agroecology there. And a couple of my friends in that class told me about Woof, and I thought, oh, I want to try that out. And ended up in New Zealand for a bunch of months. And when I got back, a couple of my other friends from those classes, they'd all been going woofing at around the same time. And we got back around the same time and realized there wasn't a woof group in the US at that time. And we decided we should start one because we had all had these incredibly impactful and educational experiences and learned so much about farming. We wanted to be sure people in the US could have opportunities like that too. So we talked to some of the other woof groups around the world at that time, and they supported us starting a group in the US. And so, yeah, we began Woof USA at that point. It's a nonprofit charity here in the US, and we've been working for, I guess it's been 20 years now, building it up and trying to help people make connections in the US through Woof.
Amazing. And so long working together, I didn't know you had a degree in agroecology. It's a new score for me too.
Oh, yeah, I know. I guess I don't talk about it that much. It's been a while, so it's hard to think back that far at this point. But yeah, it's a degree in environmental studies with an emphasis in agroecology. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I guess that network was essential to begin the Woof movement in the US, I guess, huh? The network you had in the university already.
Yeah, it did help to have that background and those connections with other people with the similar interests for sure helped get it started.
Mm-hmm. And here we go, 2 years of podcast. A lot of things was going on. We could be here for hours talking about all the improvements and all the things that was happening these 2 years in the Woof movement around the world. But unfortunately, we don't have all this time. So maybe you, Basil and Sarah, you could make a little resume of the main thing that happened these last years.
Sure. Basil, do you want to go first or do you want me to?
I can just say something briefly about the Federation's history. I mean, in the last 10 years, The Federation has tried to unite, promote, protect, and support the WUF movement around the world. Now, while that's been done at many levels, and it's been wonderful to witness how national WUF organizations have, you know, become more and more cooperative with other organizations, and you know, the WUF movement is now really unified more than ever was before. There have also been, you know, a bunch of more concrete and practical achievements. One of those is the common, what we call the Common WUF platform. And maybe Sarah, you wanna say something about what that is?
Sure. Yeah. You know, going back to when we started, we all just kind of built our own websites and took it from there on a national level. And it's really been amazing to see how over the last 10 or 12 years, with the help of the Federation, all the global WUF groups have been able to come together and really unify what WUF means from country to country. And the Common WUF platform has been a big help in that. And so it's a website that we all use now. We share from country to country. And it means that the experience for the hosts and WUFers is going to be the same between our different countries, how they use the website, and also what WUF means, you know, what our guidelines are, what our mission is, what our charter is unified. You know, we always had a similar mission, but we've worked really hard in the last 10 years to bring all that together under one umbrella called the Common WUF Platform. And we hope that it means that for people wanting to go woofing, it's easier to understand how to do it and how to access the right hosts and the right woofers.
Yes, it's for me, I would highlight this, it was amazing results, because on a practical point of view, just the fact that everybody have the same design, the woofers feel way more comfortable. If they have been woofing in the US, they very comfortably will switch to Canada. You know where is the buttons, they know how it proceeds. And even if you use the same account at this moment, that's really amazing.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's a major step forward.
And Basil, would you like to talk a little bit more about any other, about CWP, Common WUF Platform, or would you like to introduce any other project?
Well, like I was saying, the cooperation between national organizations is really thriving at the moment, and there are many ideas and projects resulting from those, and it just feels like we've reached a great momentum in WUF's history, and you know, now that we've all learned to work together so closely and efficiently, there are a lot of exciting projects on the horizon. And you know, some of our main goals are to really, you know, enhance the sense of community within the WUF network. We want to help members communicate more, basically empower our hosts and our woofers to, you know, by creating new communication channels for them. So we're working on enabling that kind of system on our website. We are also working on, we will be working on creating an app that should hopefully improve the, you know, the communication, mainly the communication and general sort of navigation experience on the WUF platforms, especially for the newer generations.
It's interesting for me when you talk about the app, because when I began in Portugal with WUF Portugal a long time ago, WUF Portugal, I think, was the first organization that didn't have a booklet, a printed booklet. So it's very interesting for me to see how we begin in the 70s with just a paper that was copied from people to people that transformed into a book, that transformed in different websites. Then we had our unified website, and now we're talking about the app, about the next step. It's beautiful for me to see things flowing forward for so long time.
Yeah, I mean, since its inception, 50 years ago, WOOF did happen on, on paper and newspapers, announcements. It was, and actually when I started WOOFing 20 years ago, I still received a book, a printed book by post with all the host addresses on it. And there was the option, a few of them had email addresses on them, a lot of them didn't. So it was either a phone number or snail mail. So I sent out a bunch of letters to hosts in Canada and and waited for their answers. There was no reviews, no profiles, none of that. But yeah, here we are. Now we're talking about an app, because apparently even the websites are, becoming something of the past.
Yeah, I remember getting my first WOOF booklet at the local co-op in New Zealand and then calling people up from payphones. I don't think there even are payphones anymore, but that's how far we've come is, now everything is online and we are, and it's also interesting to think about, like, with all the WOOF groups that started so many decades ago and kind of before the internet was really taking off, how we all started in our own countries and, had slightly different ways of operating because of being, not as closely connected as we are today. I think it's really cool to see how we all maintain the same mission, even over all that distance and time, and ways of operating have really come close together now that we're working through the Federation. So I don't know. I think it's pretty cool to see how much things have changed and also how much the foundational part of it stays the same.
And what's interesting too is that, like, despite unifying more and more, we're clearly walking a unification path, the local accents are still there. The local culture, the local understandings, the local coordination is still there as they have always been. So it's quite interesting to see that it's a kind of a technical unification, a philosophical unification, but in terms of operation, it's still everything as before, everything being local in a way more efficient way, because even financially talking, because before, imagine each country should pay for IT to make a website, and now the Federation can concentrate this, so this relieves a lot of pressure on the national organizations, in my opinion, to focus on the local community. I don't know if you share my opinion too.
I definitely do. We used to spend so much time thinking about how the website should work on a national level. And I love that we all collaborate now and work together towards the same goals. And, it's not a competitive environment in any way. We're all supporting and building each other's groups and sharing a mission. And that definitely leaves more time on a local level to focus on other things outside of IT. For example, in the US, in the last couple of years, we've been able to start a giving program called the Future Farmer Program. And it's on my mind because today is the day that we're closing the applications for it. And it's an exciting project that we're working on here that we have time to work on because of not having to focus as much on the website and technical side of things. The Future Farmer Program, maybe I'll just say a couple of words about that one too, because I think it's a pretty cool example of what we can do locally and how we kind of can take different directions within our own countries. We have partnered with a charity here in the US called the Multinational Exchange for Sustainable Agriculture, and we provide funding for aspiring farmers to go woofing in the US, and they at the same time take a class through the Multinational Exchange for Sustainable Agriculture and get a certificate in agroecology at the end of it. So it's a really cool pairing between this other national nonprofit and WWF USA, so that aspiring farmers can get both the hands-on education and the kind of online classroom part of it too, the more theory and philosophy behind agroecology. So I don't know, it's left us time and space to be able to focus on some of those kinds of projects too, which I love doing.
The same is true in Italy, actually. Our general assemblies for all the members of WWF Italia used to be extremely long, and a lot of technical stuff was discussed in these meetings about the website and all of that. And it's now great to see, now that we don't really need to talk about the website anymore, and as the Federation is dealing with these, we at our gatherings, with 100 people or more for over 4 days, we can talk about agroecology, farming, and you know, everything that WWF really stands for. So that's also been a great benefit of this cooperation.
And by freeing some time, it's interesting because we can, and as we are in close communication, we can share these local ideas and reproduce it in different countries, as it's happening with some grants and some other situations, auto contests. So yeah, looks like exciting future for WWF. So thank you so much, Basil and Sarah, for coming to this interview, and see you both tomorrow in our meetings, and let's see what the future reserves for us.
Yes, exciting times. Thanks, Rodrigo.
Yeah, thanks, Rodrigo. Thanks, Basil. This was really fun talking about WWF and the Federation and the future. So, onward.
Thank you, Sarah. See you soon.
Bye-bye. All right,
bye, guys. Bye.
WWFcast.